Okay, we're going to move on and talk about the Holy Spirit, talk about where we left off last week. And this is week two of just talking about this aspect of the Holy Spirit. We did 6 weeks on the gifts of the Spirit, and if you're going to do it in a different way, you'd probably do what we're doing now first. But I thought in doing the gifts of the Spirit like we did, it's important just to unpack this again, even though we did it back in 2009, just to give us an understanding of the way we see the Holy Spirit working in our lives, and for the purpose that God gave us the Holy Spirit. So let's recap a little bit of last week before we go any further. If we can have that scripture up, thanks, Rick. John 16:7, however, I'm telling you that nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable. This is Jesus talking to his disciples, and he says, it's profitable, good, expedient, advantageous for you that I go away. Now, I suppose if you were thinking about it and you were working and walking with Jesus and you saw him doing all these miracles, and all of a sudden he says, well, look, I'll be off soon, and but don't worry, I'm going to send somebody to help you. You'd think, man, there's nobody that could do it better than you. Why are you going? Why not stay? We're having so much fun. Just think of all the fish and the bread that we're eating, and we're walking on water. We're doing some really awesome stuff, and we don't want you to go. Jesus says, no, it's important, it's profitable, it's good, it's expedient. It's going to be advantageous for you that I go. Because if I go, then I'm going to send you the comforter, the counselor, the helper, the advocate, the intercessor, the strength, the standby. And he's going to work with you. That is, he's going to come and be in close fellowship with you. So that's what's going to happen when I go. The Holy Spirit is going to come in my place, and he's going to dwell in you. And he's going to be your comforter. He's going to be your counselor. He's going to be your helper. He's going to be your advocate. He's going to be intercessor. You know, when Jesus sent the 70 away, he was here and they were there. And they were doing what he showed them to do. But they didn't have the Holy Spirit living within them. For us, wherever we go, we have the Spirit of Christ living within us. Comforter, the counselor, the helper. I want you to think of those things. The comforter, the counselor, the helper, the advocate, the intercessor, the strengthener. And so the next question we asked last week was, well, why did Jesus say this? Why did he have to send the Holy Spirit? Because he knew that without the assistance of the Holy Spirit, we'd never achieve what he was commissioning us to do. We'd never be able to do the things that he was telling us to go out and do. He remembered back and saw how the disciples had left him, how people had quit on him, how they denied him, how they had gone to sleep on him. And he knew also what the commission was that he was going to give them, that great commission. And so how is this pack of weak, denying, whinging people going to achieve what he wanted them to do? He knew that by sending the Holy Spirit, by sending the counselor, the comforter, the helper, the advocate, the intercessor, the strengthener, and having his Spirit living within us, we would be able to achieve what he wanted us to do. And then we looked at it and said, well, how does or when does the Holy Spirit come inside of us? And I showed you, I haven't changed my mind yet, that the Holy Spirit comes inside of us at our new birth experience. Everything the Holy Spirit has to offer us comes inside of us and becomes a part of us and is available to us the minute that we become born again. The minute that we plug in to the power source being God, the minute we plug in, the Holy Spirit comes inside of us. The light comes on. Scripture says, if anyone does not possess the Holy Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ, is not truly a child of God. I know that I have the light of God. I have light inside of me. Jesus is light. Light is there. Now, there are many, 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 many people who have light inside them, who have accepted Jesus Christ. The light has come on, but they are walking around, as Jesus said, hiding their light under a bushel. They still have the Holy Spirit, or the power of the Holy Spirit, or the ability of the Holy Spirit there. They still have the light, but they're hiding it. And there'd be many that you would know. Some would say they're backsliding. I'm not going to put them in a box and say who or where they are. But I am going to say that they're covering their light in a bushel. So the first thing that we must do as Christians is we must make certain that our light is shining bright and that we are living as bright as we possibly can, that people would know that we are Christians because of the light that shines out of us, because of the demonstration of His light. I then went on to say that being born again, we are born of the Spirit. I think I've got a slide. Yep. We are born of the Spirit. These are all terminologies that have been used throughout the Bible. And oftentimes, in times past, people have unpacked these and used them as different experiences that might happen. So we plug into the power, and then all of a sudden we're born of the Spirit, we've received the Spirit, we have the Holy Spirit falling upon us, we're endued with power from on high, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit, we're even baptized with the Holy Spirit, some would say, or we're given power from on high. I would like to suggest that every one of those terminologies are the same experience that happens the minute that we plug into Jesus. You know, it's very hard for me growing up in a Pentecostal church after being in the Methodist church and coming into what I thought back then was the things of the Spirit and using terminology like being baptized in the Spirit. But I believe that we have taught that incorrectly. I don't believe that being baptized in the Spirit is a separate experience, something that comes later. As I said, the minute that we are plugged into the power, all of the power tools, all of those things. Can we go back to that first slide, Rick, please? Go back to the very first slide. Sorry, go back. Keep going back. No, go back. That's the first slide. Okay, so all of those things, all of the things, the gifts of the Spirit that we talked about, the fruit of the Spirit, the graces of the Spirit, all of those things are part of our life, part of who we are. Just move on, Rick. I think we've got it in a minute. And so everything that Jesus promised becomes ours, I believe, right there, right then. No optional extras, no unlocked codes, no needing to get down on the internet to find something, no getting a CD and then finding you've got to plug in and find a code or pay some more money. Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit. And the minute we accept Him as our personal Savior and Lord, the minute we take upon ourselves the knowledge that He's forgiven our sins, the minute we confess that He is Lord, the minute we plug into that source. And then it's a matter of by faith. And I say by faith because it is faith. You know, Jesus walking on the water sees the boat and Peter's in the boat. And Jesus said, "Hey, Pete, come for a walk with me." Now, it was by faith that he started to walk on water. Didn't matter how much Jesus said he could do it, if he didn't do it by faith, then he wouldn't have done it. "Come on, Jesus, I can't walk on that. You know, that's water. You might be walking on it, but that's a bit of glass you've got under there, and you're just walking on glass, but I know I'll fall down." That's not the way it works with God. He hasn't given us these tools. He hasn't given us all of those things. He hasn't given us the fruit of the Spirit. He hasn't given us the gifts of the Spirit, the graces of the Spirit. He hasn't given us the motivational gifts, the power to witness. He hasn't given us the ability to exalt and glorify Christ or taste of the power of the world to come or help with our prayer life or a new and a greater understanding of the Word, a daily guidance, being led on a daily basis. He's given us life to our mortal bodies. He's poured out His love into our hearts. He's strengthening and increasing our faith. All of that happened and is available to us the minute the light comes on into our lives. I think that's an incredible thought. You see, I don't see what I'm saying is too far out of whack, because God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't look at me because I speak in tongues or because I demonstrate something different to others and say, "You're better than the other people." He judges us by the light being in our lives, by our names being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then the rest of it is the walk of an overcomer, the outworking, the taking hold of the promised land, as it were. So tonight, I want to talk about going past the point of blessing into the realm of power. You see, to me, the point of blessing is receiving Christ into our lives. What an incredible blessing that is, the knowledge that we have the gift of eternal life. But unfortunately, many of us stop at that part. And we say we're a Christian now. The light's on. Wow. But there's power that comes after that. John 6, 28 says this. The disciples said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? What an incredible question. See, Jesus said that we're going to do greater works than him. Jesus said that people will believe because of what they see. To see this world impacted for him, we're going to have to do the works, even greater works than he did. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? I think for us to accomplish the work that Jesus commissioned us to do, we will need to break into a dimension of power, a dimension of him like we've never seen before. Our God wants us to do exceedingly, abundantly, and beyond everything and anything that we can ask or even think. The trouble is, as I said a minute ago, we stop at the point of blessing. We've missed the point and the depth of the incredible spiritual relationship that God intended us to have. In fact, I would say that we have stopped short of the fullness of what God intended us to have. We haven't gone far enough. We haven't pushed far enough. Everyone, breathe out with me. Ready? One, two, three. Now, you can breathe back in again. I forgot to tell you what you need to do after that. You breathe out and stop. Don't breathe in, and then breathe out again. Stop. Then breathe out again and stop. Then breathe out again. You can do it four times. Guaranteed. Do it. Come on. I'm watching. Yet when we walk, when we do things, we only breathe out once. Now breathe in. You can breathe in four times too. About four. Do it. Go on. Isn't it amazing? Yet we don't do it. We don't extend our lungs like they've been made to. And that's why we get puffed. Yet great divers, great swimmers, great runners learn to extend their lungs, learn to breathe properly, learn to breathe deeply. Now, if we do that in the natural and live like that in the natural, how much more is it like that in the spiritual? We believe for, but there's more. I breathed in, I cheated. So tonight I want you to start to believe that you're able to press past where you've normally gone. In fact, I'd ask you a question, how far do you want to go? You see, I don't think there's a limit in God. How far do you want to go? You know, we have across the whole of the world beautiful churches. We have magnificent stained glass windows. We have beautiful roofs. Chris and I have walked through some of the cathedrals in Italy and around Europe, and they are magnificent. We go in and we go, wow, wow. You look at the stained glass windows, you look at the architecture, and it just blows you around. You know, when we were in Europe last year, I took photos of all the steeples. And every one of them was beautiful. Every one of them just was so incredible in its architecture. We have incredible churches. We have beautiful crosses. We have great music. We baptize people. We marry. We listen to people's problems. We wipe away tears. And we bury people. But unfortunately, we've missed something. We've missed, I think, the greatest truth that Jesus ever taught, apart from salvation. We can quote it, especially us good Pentecostals, But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on. You'll be my witnesses in... Now listen to where we'll be witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. The power that has come upon us gives us the ability to be witnesses or martyrs if necessary to the whole world. Yet we miss the real truth. We miss the aspect of power. God meant that by being born again, we will be born of the Spirit. We will receive the Spirit. We will have the Holy Spirit falling upon us. We will be endured by the Holy Spirit. We will be sealed by the Holy Spirit. We will be baptized in the Spirit. We will be given power on high. We will experience more fruit than had ever been seen before. These things you shall do, and even greater things that you will do. From Scripture, we can see that God intended the power of the Holy Spirit to be the greatest source that we could have for reaching the world. In a church like ours, we don't talk enough about reaching the world. We don't talk enough about impacting the people that we work with, the people on the station, the people in the streets, the people in the supermarkets, or even for Ashley because she won't go to a supermarket, the people at the Vic Market. Is that right, Ash? Well, won't go to Aldi. Yet as a church, we've missed it. When Jesus promised us the comfort of the counselor, the helper, the advocate, the intercessor, the strength of the standby, He never meant for us just to have a happy clappy club, just to have fun, just to come to church and be a little club. He gave us the comforter, the counselor, and all the other things, not to contain it within ourselves and to keep it inside our buildings. He gave it to us that we might be able to use that power to impact the world around us. Jesus didn't tell his disciples to tarry in Jerusalem until they had one goosebump on top of another. He didn't say, wait until you speak in tongues, because that's what Pentecostals have done. They've made something big around speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is fantastic. Don't get me wrong. But it's not the end. There's far more. He told them to wait for the power to come on high. For that power that was going to enable them to do the things that they did. And as I said last week, read the rest of Acts and find the things that they did when the power came on high on them. I would say that 90% of our churches, even more, 99% of our churches have stopped at getting saved. We think that if we can get a person saved, then that's the end. We've done our job. Let me tell you, that's not true. That's not even scriptural, because God is the only one wise enough to win souls. We can't win a soul. We can only be witnesses. But we stop at that. We think we've done a good job. We even think that if we've made them a disciple, that we've done a good job. But we've failed the church because we haven't taught them how to move in the power that Jesus gave. Imagine the 2 billion Christians in the world today using and demonstrating the power of the Holy Spirit as God intended. Imagine how different the world would be right now. Imagine the 600 that attend regularly LMC or more just using the power. Imagine how quickly and how much the community around us would be changed. Maybe that's why 2/3 of the world is yet to be saved. Perhaps that's why we're not seeing as many people come into the freedom that we should, because we've stopped at the point of blessing and we haven't moved into the power. So what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Well, obviously, the first thing we have to do is plug in. Become a Christian. Get the light turned on in our lives. But having done that, we have a choice. Now, for us older people, who have grown up with old-fashioned things, you might understand when I say that sometimes it's more easy or more comfortable. Do you want somebody just run over and just close those curtains over there? Thanks very much, because these people over here can't see my handsome face. You know, we are so used to doing things the old way that we balk at the new way. We pick up the hand beater to beat the egg. When we forget to realize that there is an electric beater getting faster. Or if you're really modern, you might have a Thermomix. If you'd like to buy a Thermomix, see Chris. You know, as an old person, we might pick up a handsaw and think that that's going to be the best instrument to chop wood. But realistically, what about? I just feel like chopping that table. Do it? Nope. You know, some might realize that this was a drill. This was called a brace, and you would put it on your chest and you would lean hard on the metal and you, oh, that hurts, and you would drill. You know, my dad, that was my dad's, and he used to drill through steel with that. Now, I would never even think to even go that way. I would pick up immediately my electric drill and I would do that. See, that's the difference between turning and using the power or trying to do it in our own strength. Now, I think, again, the church has taught it wrong. You see, there was a group of churches that used to say if you weren't speaking in tongues, you weren't saved. I don't agree with that. If the light is on, you're saved. If you choose to do everything the old-fashioned way, by your own strength, so be it. You still get to heaven. But I tell you now, God didn't intend us to stay like that. The power source gave us the power equipment that we might do the works that God has intended us to do. How often we fall back into the old ways. How often we fall back into doing it in our own strength. I was thinking about what I just said about the old ways and the older people. And I was thinking, well, how does that analogy work with people that have grown up in the church where the Holy Spirit is being talked about all the time? And the concept I thought up is that instead of having a power drill, now, with a cord, they would have a battery drill, a DeWalt. And they would use their DeWalt. And they wouldn't even give a thought. They wouldn't even know what this looked like. They wouldn't even know where to find one. This, nah, that's old hat. You got to plug it in and you got to have a cord. And that's just, you just get a DeWalt, a battery one. But unless you plug that into the power source and keep it charged, it's not going to work. And sometimes we've become so used to having something that we forget to plug into the power source and keep it charged and keep it going. Today, there are many of us, if not most of us in the church, not using the equipment that God has given us to get the job done. Yet, if we would plug in, which we have, and then turn on the power source, it's all there waiting. There is power into every bit of this equipment. Sander. You wouldn't use that, would you, if you could use that? I went round to Alan Liss's before, and they're working on their bookcase, and I noticed that Al didn't have one of those. He had a beautiful little electric one. Now, in the olden days, we would have done that. Use the power source. Every job, every problem, every situation, every circumstance, we have been given a tool for, called the Holy Spirit. A comforter, a counselor, a helper, an advocate, an intercessor, a strengthener. In fact, when we were worshiping a minute ago, God told me very, very clearly that there were people here right now, tonight, and that you have situations in your life, circumstances in your life. You are right now in the midst of something that you think is too big for you, and you don't know how to handle it. Well, tonight, there is a tool for you, already plugged into your life, called the Holy Spirit. And all you have to do is say, Holy Spirit, I allow you right now and your power in my situation. Why don't you close your eyes for a minute? I'd like to pray for whoever those ones are. And I know there's at least one or two. If everyone just keep their eyes closed. I don't want you looking around. If you're that person or those people right now and you've been sitting here or you've come to church even tonight because you have a problem, a situation, a circumstance that's too big for you, that you have felt or are feeling that you can't cope, that you can't carry on. I don't want to look around. I'll keep my eyes closed too. I just want you to raise your hand. I know that God wants to meet you right now. Father, I pray that you would touch those people right now by your Spirit. And that, Lord God, in the simplicity of this demonstration, in the simplicity of this presentation, Lord God, they would know that you have already given them a counselor, a comforter, a helper, an advocate, an intercessor, a strengthener. That you're not leaving them, that you will never leave them. And that, Lord God, they might not even feel worthy right now. They might be doubting their own Christian faith, but Father, we can see that as soon as the light is on, the Holy Spirit's there. And Father, we know that the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He won't force himself or push himself upon anybody. But Lord, you also know that if we would invite you, if we would actually put a hand on the switch and pull the trigger, that we would release that power into our situation, into our circumstance. We release the working of your Spirit. Father, I pray that right now that you would cause faith to rise in each of those people whose hands are raised. They might know your power right now. They might see a dynamic outworking of your Spirit in their situation and circumstances. Father, they might know a release even now in their lives. Amen. So tonight, simple message, simple presentation, simple challenge, yet a little harder to do. Let's press into the power that we have available to us. Let's choose to make an effort that instead of picking up and doing something in our own strength, we would invite the Holy Spirit to take control. And that we would step out. The next time you see somebody who has an illness, instead of saying, well, I'll pray for you, or sorry to hear about that, why don't you say, Holy Spirit, right now, let me have not only the words to say, but the power to pray that this person would get better. Or a word of encouragement, a word of knowledge, a word of prophecy, whatever it might be. When you're at home and you know the fruit of the Spirit's not operating the way it should be, why don't you just stop and say, Holy Spirit, have your way right now. Turn the power on. When there's doubt, when there's heaviness in your life, when the mountain looks too big, why don't you remember that you have a strengthener in your life? Someone who will comfort you. Jesus said in Mark, and these signs will accompany those who believe. These are the power things that we're going to do if we allow the Holy Spirit to operate through us. We will drive out demons. We will speak in new tongues. We'll pick up snakes in our hands. We will drink deadly poison and it will not hurt us. And we'll place our hands on the sick and they will get well. To do the works of God, we must be willing to go beyond where we are right now. We must go past the point of blessing, past the point of receiving the Holy Spirit, into using the Holy Spirit, God's power. Tonight I ask you, don't just sit. Don't just accept. Determine tonight that you're going to start to step out. And I guarantee you, as you step out in the power and as you start to use the power, your faith will rise to the point that you use it more and more. Let's pray. Father, I just pray that you would overshadow each person tonight. That Lord God, as we again talk simply, I think, yet on the same token, Lord, as we talk your truth, that you would challenge each and every one of us from old to young, both in age and in our Christian maturity, to go past the point of blessing and into a demonstration and an outworking of your power. Father, we have such incredible opportunities throughout this place to minister into this community. And Lord, I know that in our own strength we can't do it. But in you, we could see this community, this city, this country transformed as you intended. Lord, have your way, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thanks so much for coming out. Look forward to seeing you next Sunday as we finish the Holy Spirit at night, and in the morning we do session 2 on tithing. God bless you all. See ya.